The Lord be with you. There is a thrill in being part of a crowd. And if you've been to a football game or to a rock concert, you know that feeling of power and unity that comes from being surrounded with people who feel just the same way you do, to letting out your voice in a unified cry with them, cheering on your home team to victory, cheering on that musician who sings the song that makes you feel alive. In that moment, you are one with everything that matters. It is a feeling that politicians will tap into at rallies, encouraging us to cry out to them, "Save us! Save our nation, save our country, save our society from everything that's wrong." We yearn for this feeling. The crowds yearn for this feeling when they cry out, "Hosanna to Jesus." For Hosanna means save us. But what are they asking Jesus to save them from? Well, Jesus comes in riding a colt, a baby horse, the sign of a prince of peace who is not riding into war, not riding with power, but with humility. And yet the crowds respond by taking off their cloaks and throwing them on the ground before him, which is what the Hebrew soldiers did to crown Jehu as their king. And then they take palm branches and leafy branches and they wave them, shouting in victory, which is what the people of Jerusalem did when the Maccabees drove out the Greeks and they restored freedom to the kingdom of Israel. Yes, they shout, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord," but they also shout, "Blessed is he who restores the kingdom of our ancestor David." That's a political kingdom. You see, they're crying out for Jesus to be one more politician who will make everything like it used to be. And the whole crowd of the city swelled with pilgrims from all over for the Passover festival. They unite in a single voice to acclaim that Jesus will be their king, and the religious leaders inside the city tremble with fear. But those same religious leaders know that there is something even more thrilling than cheering. And that is jeering. Whether you've ever booed at a professional wrestling match when the heel comes on the ring, or if you've gone to a melodrama and hissed at the villain, you know how much fun it is. You know how much fun it is if you've gone to a political rally and chanted that your opponents be brought low, be brought to justice. It's that same thrill that our ancestors would get when they burned a witch, or when we blame the immigrant for stealing our jobs, or when we find the minority who has no power and we take them to the lynching tree. Oh yes, the religious leaders know that the only way to take away the power of the crowd's cheer for Jesus is to make the crowd's jeer for Jesus. Because the only thing we want more than someone to save us from our problems is someone to blame for our problems. And Jesus is such the perfect target. He has made a mockery of the temple, of the sacred tradition of the Sabbath. He has promised so much and delivered so little, has refused to use any means necessary, including the means of violence, to bring forth the kingdom of our ancestor David. But most of all, the religious leaders have given us permission to revile him. And it's amazing how little permission we need to turn on one another. You see, religion at its worst, this is what it does. It tells us who we should lift up to put our hope in, be it pastors or gurus or saints, and then it points at the people that we can blame for our troubles, be they sinners or deviants or heretics. Until we get so used to having someone that we can turn to solve all our problems, or someone that we can blame for everything that's wrong, that we make our God into both of those. And God becomes for us a superintendent and a scapegoat. God becomes the one who is supposed to fix everything that's wrong, and the one whom we blame for every problem. The one that we call when the faucet's leaking, and the one that we beat when we don't get that promotion. But Jesus, he doesn't ask for any of this. Certainly, Jesus doesn't ask that we shout crucify, but Jesus also doesn't ask that we shout Hosanna. He doesn't need our jeers or our cheers. It is the crowds who need those. What Jesus asks for in our readings this Palm Sunday is one very simple thing. He asks that we be present with him in his hour of need. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus is wrestling in his soul with the fact that he is about to be arrested, condemned, and crucified, Jesus asks of his disciples, asks us, to remain with him and to keep awake, to be present to his suffering, to not run away, to not turn away, to not look away, but to be present and bear witness, even if there's nothing that we can do about it. When shouting Hosanna to God will not save him, and when blaming Judas will not make this go away, Jesus still asks us to be there, to be present. When all we can do is bear witness to this suffering, to acknowledge that it is real and that it won't be forgotten, so that if Christ alone must bear his cross, then at least Christ will not bear his cross alone. But the disciples, they can't even do this. Yes, the followers of Jesus, they can cry Hosanna and they can cry crucify him, but this quiet act that they are invited to, they cannot. The disciples fall asleep and they run away. And so do we. We are surrounded by so much pain in this world and we turn away from it. We distract ourselves with daily squabbles, or we say good vibes only and we don't want to be brought down. Or if we do look and see the pain that is in the world, instead of sitting with the person who is suffering in our neighborhood, we run away to online platforms where we can cheer on our heroes who we say will fix the problem for us, or we can jeer the villains who we say caused the suffering in the first place. Anything to not have to see Christ on our steps. But even when we can't be with Christ, even when we won't be with Christ, Christ will always be with us. When we need to shout Hosanna to a Savior, Jesus rides ahead of us, humble on his colt, and he accepts our Hosannas. And he even saves us, not as we desire, but as we need, so that he might be with us. And when we need to cry out, crucify, Jesus remains silent. He offers no defense. He accepts our accusation, accepts being the release for our rage, so that he might be with us. To Peter, who will deny him, Jesus offers the bread of life, which is his body. To Judas, who will betray him, Jesus offers the cup of salvation, which is his blood. Jesus does this so that he might remain with them. And he offers the same to us, that when we abandon and betray him, Jesus will remain with us always. Jesus is willingly condemned to die that he might be with us who are condemned to die also. And so, as we begin this Holy Week, as we begin this journey to the cross and to the resurrection, may we not spend this week seeking for heroes in which to put our hope or villains which to revile. May we not get our sense of unity from crying out, Hosanna, or crying out, Crucify. May we instead accept Christ's invitation to be present, to be awake, to be present and awake to the pain in this world, to the hurt in our own heart, to our Christ who is dying, so that remaining with Christ, we might know that he remains with us always. Amen.